From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, this is Joe. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Kyle with my BFF, Keon.
Hello.
How's your week?
Boys and gentlemen, and lady. My week was pretty good. I don't recall much of what happened. It felt pretty normal. EK's out sick.
Oh, is he sick?
Yeah.
Oh, sick. No. So, poor guy.
Yeah, he probably, you know, he got some American flu or something. They probably have a different flu wherever he's from. But other than that, it's pretty good. Just doing my thing. How about you? How was your...
It's a good week. Yeah. It's Holy Week, so I've been going to church. Feels like almost every day. A lot of reflecting this week. Had a really good mass last night. Saw a couple guys from Unchained over there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was really good. It's a long one. Let me tell you, it was a long one.
But the church you go to is really pretty.
It's really pretty. It's really big. There's a lot of, unfortunately, it's unless you come early, you're going to be standing up. And it's tough, dude, because, like, you know, there's just not enough seats available.
It gets that packed on a
Thursday? Yeah, it gets that packed. You know, and it's one of those things, like, you know, I want to get up and, like, give my seat to somebody else, but... In the middle of mass, you're kind of like, you know, you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like I try to do that. There was a couple other guys that did that, but it's really hard to like get up in the middle of mass and be like, go up a couple of things and be like, hey, you can come, you know, it's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like that.
A distraction.
Like, yeah. You don't want to be a distraction.
Oh, well, but, that sounds nice.
But, yeah, it was a great turnout. And then tomorrow's Easter Vigil. So that'll be a celebration. It'll be as big as, it'll be like a, not, I don't want to say like a circus, but it'll just be like a celebration. It'll be fun. Yeah, it's going to be, you've been to, remember when you went to my baptism? It's like that. Remember how much of a spectacle that was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be
cool. I like spectacle.
That's dude, if
like
you the coolest come, thing
about
if you
Catholicism
come,
for me.
If you want to come tomorrow, feel free.
Okay, well, I probably won't go, but I mean, they have
cake and punch, and like there's food afterwards. I mean, it's fun, dude. There's nothing but singing and.
No, I love it. I love
it's. I think honestly, I like going to church. It's like one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite times, besides Christmas, to go. It's a good time.
Oh
yeah. Anyways, that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, you do seem lighter, I would say. You seem
week.
Yeah, you seem like
looser.
Less serious. Yeah, less, more loosey. I mean, I don't know, goosey or whatever, but
like everything's in front of me. Yeah, yeah. I think it's just because you just see more clearly, and you're supposed to take the time to reflect and just be at peace with everything. I think that's what it is. But yeah, cool. If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the, well, I like to call it, apparently it's not called the front page of Bitcoin. What is the tagline?
I still don't have a great one. The one I just use now is like trying to fix online communities with economics, which is a terrible tagline.
That's a terrible tagline.
We also have on our Twitter, it's Reddit gives you upvotes, we give you Bitcoin.
That's a terrible tagline.
That's
too.
Also not great.
Because you're promoting Reddit.
It's not. That's what people think. I don't really think it's a promotion of Reddit.
It is.
Just mentioning them is not a promotion.
It is.
Because we're saying we're against it.
It's the front page of Bitcoin. That's what I call it. If you want to see this show every week, head over to the YouTube channel, click on the Stacker News channel, and then hit subscribe. Look, we have we just hit 350. Boom! There you go.
Wow,
we have more subscribers than videos now.
Ready to go nuclear, dude. Critical mass forming.
Hit the subscribe button. Wumble's back. He's hitting more videos. We had one that hit like 300 views the other day, which is not a lot to all you.
The dust attack one?
No, there is one the other day. This thing's in my way here. Let me see.
Okay, kind of recently.
The Steve Jobs one. It was the, I forget what a Twitter
review did pretty good.
Oh, it was the gaming one. It was when you went off on me about the gaming stuff.
What gaming stuff did I go?
You were like telling me, I was asking you about like, oh yeah, it was this one. It was 250 views about the gaming stuff. And I was asking you about, will it replace AI? Like, will it replace game designers? You were so dismissive.
I was upset.
You were so dismissive.
You kept ignoring the story.
No. I was asking you stupid questions a normal person would ask, because I'm a normal person and I'm not a developer. And
isn't about developer stuff.
No, it is. It's a normal question a normal person would ask. And you're an expert, Coop. And this guy right here, he goes, I'm telling you, they are going to replace bad game designers. And then this guy goes, he was really mad at you. He goes,
I know, he called me a sociopath.
Yeah, he called you a sociopath.
I just read it.
I was like, damn. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. When I ask you these questions, it's because normal people want to know the answer.
No, I was just saying, in the context of what we're discussing,
Inception.
Elvis brought this up, not to discuss people getting laid off, but like what to do. What are we all going to do when we're laid off? So that's mostly why I was like dismissive, because I want to talk about that.
Well, anyway, they wanted to know your answer, and they stuck around for it. Anyway, Wumble made a good clip. Go check it out. But yeah, hit subscribe. He'll be clipping them all. I guess Wumble clips out the good stuff of the show. So you get rid of all the banter and all this kind of stuff, unless you're here for that. But Wumble will clip out the good stuff, and then you can just...
Oh, you mean he clips in the good stuff?
Yeah, I guess that's way to. Yeah. I guess that's
the
way.
I was viewing it the other way.
Yeah, he clips in the good stuff. So if you just want to go and see like Phoenix Wallet stuff, where we just talk about the Phoenix Wallet stuff, then you'll just go watch that. Or if you want to hear Carr pontificate about Trump, then you'll just go watch that. or hear Keon talk about his love for Steve Jobs, then you'll just go hear about that. So, yeah, hit subscribe on that, and then share it with a friend or share it with the deep state whenever I talk about not stuff about me not staying in my lane, maybe. Fake. There you go. We're going to jump into the top posts. The number 5 top story of the week is, in case you haven't read, Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut. This is from Pleb Poet, Books and Articles Territory, April 15th, 6 comments, 550 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how much to talk about this because I don't want to spoil it. But Kurt Vonnegut wrote Fahrenheit 451. I'm sure a bunch of other things, and you know, some of these guys, when they're that good at science fiction, they tend to write a lot and write lots of good things. But this one in particular is about a world where everyone is equal, and like. You know, so it gets into like how they're enforcing equality among unequal people, because we're all, you know, unequal in our own ways, and how they're doing that, and they do it in silly ways, and I don't want to spoil too much of it.
How do they get to equality?
I guess I can explain it, but spoiler alert.
Yeah. The funniest part is like the very first paragraph. It talks about they get. The equality is because they get to the 211th, 212th, and 213th amendments in the Constitution.
Yeah, they handicap people.
Yeah.
That what they do. So, like, if you're, again, spoiler alert, if you're smart, what they do is they try to interrupt your thinking. One of the characters, George Bergeron, he has, like, an earpiece that makes a screech, like a really startling, upsetting noise every 20 seconds so that he can't think longer than 20 seconds because he's smarter than the average person.
Some people think this already exists.
Oh, you mean the, what is it? The kind of,
it's like a sharp.
The Havana effect.
Oh, is that it?
Well, the Havana device or the Havana weapon.
No, I wasn't thinking about that. You heard about that?
Where they like people exiting embassies have been like their brains have been microwaved.
What is it called?
I thought it was Havana Syndrome. That's what it's called. Havana Syndrome.
I'm sure I'm spelling it wrong.
Yeah.
Versus unexplained health experience of the United States government. Oh, wow. Dizziness. Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, some people think it's a lot of, I mean, I think people think there's like a weapon that you can kind of, without... like not very invasively affect someone's cognitive abilities from a distance.
Oh, I could totally see that being a weapon. Okay, anyway, let's go back.
Yeah, but it's yeah, so his thinking gets interrupted by a sound device. And, you know, if you're, like, very athletic, they have you, like, wear extra weight on your body, like just sacks of heavy things, so that you aren't more athletic than the average. If you're particularly attractive, they have you wear a mask that is ugly. If you have nice teeth, they make you wear, like, teeth things. Cover your teeth and make them look bad.
So when I read this, I just read this like 2 hours ago or an hour ago. I didn't understand the whole ballerina thing. Like, because the guy is, like, he steps into the other room. He hears, like, a PSA from, like, the television set. And the guy who's, like, delivering the news, he can't deliver the news. So the ballerinas come in and deliver the news for him. I didn't understand that part.
Oh, well, he was doing a broadcast over, like, in the same, I guess, what do they call it? Set. Studio. Uh-huh. Same studio as the ballerinas. And he has a speech impediment, which is part of why they made him an anchor, is that he can't really speak very well. So he's not showing off, but he couldn't say the words that he needed to say, so he handed the sheet to the ballerina, who said the words that he needed to say. That was really all that there is there. It's like he couldn't do his job, which is like, yay, he can't do his job. He's average.
But that doesn't make any... But what is that? I don't understand that part. Like, what was the point of that part?
The point of that part is that there is no... People cannot... They're not allowed to be exceptional at their jobs.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you have to be average at your job. And... You know, average is...
Yeah. Well, anyways, it gets to the end, and then there's some lady that comes in and starts...
Well, it's not average. You actually have to be equal. Because an equal means you have to lower everyone who has accessibility down to the lowest ability.
Well, it gets to the end, and they just start shotgunning everybody for some strange reason, which... Yeah.
Yeah, the story is named after... A man who is like an Adonis. They compare him to Vonnegut compares him to Thor, or like a superior of Thor, and he's been so severely handicapped, and he's like tried to overthrow the government because he's been so severely handicapped, and he breaks out of jail, and then he comes onto the set of the ballerinas and declares that he's taking over the government. And anyway, I would just read the story. It's a great short story, and just kind of, it's like, you know, satirical.
Yeah.
What is the, well, I don't, it's not that serious. It's kind of tongue in cheek, but it does paint a picture of, you know, why equality of outcome is maybe not great.
Yeah, we had the Stackers comment on it. 117 said, awesome short story. Those dancers always creep me out. Simple Stacker said, I've never read it, but I can tell from the opening sentence that it's going to be a banger. Undisciplined said, Vonnegut said that Diane Moon Glampers is the protagonist of this story. Yeah.
And then, really?
Yeah.
And then she's the handicap general.
Yeah. And then Bishop said the year was 2045 and everyone was finally financially equal.
Oh, this is, don't read this. This is like some AI slop.
Oh, okay. I guess he's just trying to do like a Bitcoin angle on it, which is very possible. Very, very possible. Some people say, you know, government's trying to handicap Bitcoin right now, Keon, with all these stable coins.
They're trying to handicap it? How?
With all these stable coins.
You think, how would it handicap Bitcoin?
I mean...
I think the biggest handicap to Bitcoin is making people think that custodial services and KYCing and stuff is safe. I think that is the biggest handicap, is like making people complacent. You know, getting a lot of hash power in the United States because we're friendly to crypto, and then a new administration comes in and it flips the script, and now, you know, all of those lists on KYC that are reported to the government are now... you know, held in the government, and our technologies are, sort of handicapped.
Yeah, that's definitely
because we haven't developed better self-sovereign tech because we're just okay with custody.
Yeah, that's actually true. Stuff. Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely one aspect of it.
But too. I just don't understand how stable coins would be.
Well, I think that's just another part of the venom, right? That's just the proliferation of the dollar into every crevice of the Bitcoin stack in the real world and the digital world. If what you're talking about is like the real world part of it, then this would be like the digital world part of it. But it's trying to hook its fangs into it. But I think it's also just, I think it also does another thing. It gets people, me and Austin were talking about earlier, but it gets people addicted to that kind of like just that fiat type of mentality. And I'm not saying these are bad people or anything like that. I think there are people in power that do see Bitcoin as a threat. And I'm not saying anybody, I'm not pointing anybody out or anything like that. I'm just saying that there are people at the highest levels thinking through this from a strategic level. And I don't think it's you know, out of line to say that they're trying to save the dollar. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Is that there are people trying to save the dollar? Yeah, I think there are people trying to save the dollar.
And I think they see Bitcoin as a threat
to the dollar.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty weak threat right now. So if I were them, and I understood Bitcoin as well as I do, I wouldn't be that afraid of Bitcoin's threat to the dollar. I think Trump is maybe the biggest threat to the dollar. I think tariffs are a pretty big threat to the dollar.
Oh, so maybe Trump is the shield right now in front of Bitcoin that's going to take the shot before.
I think he's done a pretty, you know, he's done a lot of damage to the dollar. I mean, the tariffs are pretty bad for the dollar.
There's a guy on Stacker News. Have you seen his post? He keeps posting about the China.
Oh, Solomon Satoshi.
Yeah, have you seen that?
He's a huge China bull. I would guess he's.
I don't know if I got his name right.
I'm pretty sure I've heard of people muting him because he's a bot.
Oh, is he a bot?
Well, they think he's like a China.
Yeah, bot. It's like he just keeps posting this on like everything. Yeah, he's like, China has won the trade war and developed a CBDC and the protocol enabled cross border payments with other nations via digital transfers. Talking about this Enbridge USC hegemony. Hegemony, or however you pronounce that, Trump recognizes this and is responding to shore up.
He's a big China bull.
He says Bitcoin may well outlast the dollar, but it would need to escape the capture of narrative and regulatory pressures, which have. I said sounds bullish. Sounds incredibly bullish. I forget what we were talking about here. Oh yeah, they were talking about this week. Is dollar dominance good for the U.S.?
I remember there's someone when I first met, I went to a Thank God for Bitcoin dinner and I met someone and I was talking to them about like China having the world reserve currency. And this was years ago. And they were like, China doesn't want to be the world reserve currency because it has this trade off of you having this trade imbalance or trade deficits. And that would completely disrupt their economy. So they don't want to be the world reserve currency. It's to their advantage to not be. And so that's what in effect the tariffs do is kind of remove us from being the world reserve currency. What does it get replaced with? I don't know. Or, you know, does somehow stable coins fix the Triffin dilemma? I don't know. I'm not an economist. I don't really think about these things too much, but I do. There's enough economists on Stacker News that I get.
I think they're screwed, to be honest. I think they painted themselves. I think they've kind of put themselves into a. They've kind of boxed themselves into a hole, or into a. How do you say? What's that saying? They boxed themselves into a hole.
They've dug themselves into a hole.
There you go. I think Bitcoin wins, personally, but I think it's a good time to be holding some Bitcoin. You should probably get some if you haven't gotten some yet. Anyways, good. I mean, good post by Blood Poet. Not a lot of people are thinking about this, but it got me thinking about a lot of this kind of stuff. Dollar stuff, Bitcoin stuff. I don't know if that was her intention, but I'm not sure what her intention was. What do you think her intention was?
I think they're definitely not her intention. I believe she was probably just looking to share a story that they liked. Maybe they were thinking about equality a lot.
Mm.
But, you know, and it has dancing in it. And, yeah.
Oh, she was probably a ballerina at one point. Maybe that makes sense.
As most.
Oh, we were taking it to a whole other extreme, like Bitcoiners do. All right, cool. The number four top story of the week is, how do you get through the hard times? This is from Aardvark, 25 comments, 1,758 cents. Ask SN territory. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Aardvark's grandmother had a stroke, and their best friend of 24 years committed suicide, and, which is rough, and he's asking how people deal with it. He said he's not feeling too bad about it. Or not, you know, doesn't have visible signs of distress, I guess, or anything like that. But, you know, doesn't feel great either. I would guess he's probably just, you know, the type of emotional processor where it doesn't really show up immediately and on the surface. If it's anything like me at all. Ask stackers how they deal with these things, and a bunch of people respond with either similar situation or, you know, roughly similar situations and how they dealt with it or how they deal with things like this.
We had Siggy says, I'm very sorry to hear that. In my experience, just do what gives you comfort during these times without judgment. For me, sometimes I experience a delayed reaction when I don't expect it. You said, not a recommendation, but I usually just work more. There are things that are uncontrollable, and especially when I can't accept that. I channel my frustrations into problems I can control over more. Crypto Sensei say, I'm sorry to hear that. I think sitting down and being exceptionally lazy is fine. Coping mechanism. Allow those emotions to sit with you. Hardrich said, I know some folks shouldn't handle firearms when sad, but after I lost my brother / best friend, I found that going to a shooting range made me feel like I had some kind of power or control. I only did it a few times, but I remember feeling nice. Discipline said, that's horrible. I'm so sorry. The best I can offer is distracting yourself with a small routine task. Great Ruby said, oh, man, sorry to hear that. Both accounts. I was wondering why you weren't around much. I don't have very much good advice for you other than to try to find something you're grateful for and focus on that and put one foot in front of the other. Gosh. Yeah. Really sad. On a lighter note, Aardvark was on Real Bitcoin Dogs podcast.
Yeah.
And he's a funny guy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's him right there on the left, but he's
got a Stacker News shirt.
Yeah, he got a Stacker News shirt, but he was hanging out with Real Bitcoin Dog, and he was asking him, I don't think you can hear it on the thing, but he was asking him about the Time Magazine thing.
Oh.
And he says that he puts it on his applications, which is kind of hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
And then Real Bitcoin Dog asked him, like, he goes, so am I also Time Magazine Man of the Year that year? And he's like, yeah, you might be. But Aardvark's actually a really funny guy. I was watching the whole thing. He's a pretty funny guy. Mm-hmm. And Real Bitcoin Dog, he actually has a really funny intro, too. Look at the way he does the intro. Here, let me see if he does it. Yeah, look how he does the intro. Let me see if he does it. Maybe I'm fast forwarding it. He does it. You got to watch it. Hang on. Let me see if he does it. No. Anyway, here's a funny intro. You should watch the show. It's a good show. He interviews snackers.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool guys, dude. They're just like regular dudes like us. Goob.
Yeah.
He brings you up several times.
Oh.
Yeah. But he has Stacker News. Talks about how he found Stacker News. Talk about like their territory and I was telling, I think I said it somewhere. I don't know if I put it in YouTube or I put it somewhere. I was like, they should talk more about their posts, like all they have on their territory and stuff.
But then they'll be competing with Oscar.
Dude, there's no competition. Are you kidding me? I don't mean it like that. Yeah, I mean
you
it
guys
like
try to get to 30 viewers.
No, I mean we cover the top five. I mean they're just covering their territory stuff. Oh, and he's interviewing Stackers, like, you know, it's
like the Stacker Sports Pod.
Yeah, like Stacker Sports, which we'll talk about later in the show. But yeah, I think I was telling you earlier this week. I was like, I feel like every territory should have their own podcast.
It's a lot of work doing a podcast, ain't it?
I do too. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. Anyways, if you should check out that Aardvark's on the show, and check out Real Bitcoin Dog. He has his own show too as well. It's called right here. It's So Early, and yeah, Blockchain Boog, Zapping. That's awesome. A lot of the same guys who watch this show watch that.
I got to zap them. Yeah.
Isn't that cool? They're all like, all these different territories have their own podcast now. Would you have ever thought that, like, in the early days of Stacker News?
No, well, we didn't have territories early on.
But would you ever thought that, like, let me say it a different way. Would you have ever thought that Stacker News would have podcasts? Different podcasts other than the one we have?
No.
Yeah, neither would I. I would have never thought that.
Yeah, I'm mostly surprised Stacker News still exists. I mean, if you asked me a few years ago, that was my common refrain is, like, you know, who knows? It's a toy. Who knows?
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
It's So Early. That's such another really good name for a podcast. Yeah, he does. I didn't even know he had the health and fitness territory. And he's written like a couple books too.
Yeah, yes. I got with the Consensus 21 people that write Bitcoin fiction. There's like a book of short stories, and I ordered two of them recently. Yeah, these guys, 21 Futures.
Yeah. Pretty cool. It's a whole Bitcoin short story club or story club. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
What do they have, like submissions or? They should do like a story, like AMA story or something.
An AMA cool. story.
Or like an AMA.
Try Bitcoin, to get in one of these books.
Bitcoin Bookshop.
We have our own publication car. It's called the Stacker News Zine.
Oh, yeah. This is cool. Wait, so when you shop, do they just sell these? Oh, wait. So visit the store. So when you go to the store.
I think they're all like the same.
Oh, Bitcoin Bookshop. Oh, wow. Dude, that's amazing. So who does the publishing?
I think on the other site, they do like self-publishing.
Oh, cool.
And then this... The Bitcoin Bookshop, I think, just they're like a bookstore where they stock a bunch of things from a variety of publishers.
Dude, that's awesome. Look at that.
It's my guess.
You should write the Stacker News story.
Should write Stacker News what?
The story of Stacker News.
I already wrote it. It's at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Or it's at the bottom of the page on Stacker News.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the number three top story is someone tried to scam me on RoboSats. Didn't we just have this last week? Bitcoin territory, a week or two ago. John Hoddle, 43 comments, 2080, 20 cents. What's this?
Yeah, it looks like scammers continue to find RoboSats, possibly even the same scammers, but it looks like John Hoddle was doing a trade on RoboSats, and in this particular how this particular scam works is... You initiate a trade, and then you give up on an unresponsive peer, and you try to close or cancel the trade, and then before the peer accepts the cancel, they tell you they're ready to trade, so that you give them the code, and then they cancel, so that they basically got... they keep their money, and they got your Amazon gift card code. Is how the scam works, and it's just like a social engineering type of scam where you might not realize that they have the ability to claw back the money once you've initiated the close.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's a pretty, I mean, I could see a lot of people getting scammed that way.
Yeah.
Sticky said he has had similar issues.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this. I feel like we cover RoboSets every other week.
Yeah, it's become pretty popular. I think it's awesome. I'd love to see a lot more of this kind of stuff. RoboSats is one of the more popular ones, but
RoboSats should just get a territory on Stacker News at this point.
I don't think it needs one.
Kind of does. I feel like we're covering it for them at this point. RoboSats, if you're out there, message Coob.
You don't got to message me.
Message him on... come do an AMA. Have they done an AMA before?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they have? Let me see.
I think a few years ago.
RoboSets AMA. Maybe they should do another one. Have they done one? No, they haven't. Can you?
Sort by Zap Rank? Rather than relevance? Yeah. Oh, I guess not.
Yeah, they should come do an AMA. It's been a while. Or... maybe it's never been done. Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of their customers on Stacker News. Cool. The final, right? Yeah.
No.
Number four top story is I made a game with Lightning where you can earn some sats. This is from Stacks. 45 comments, Bitcoin territory, 4,711 sats. Keon, what's this?
Oh, this is the second top story.
Oh, I'm sorry. The second top story.
It looks like our network is blocking the site, but you can access it on a VPN. It's just a game that's gated by a Lightning payment. And when I tried to play it, I couldn't get a match with anyone. And I actually tried to match with myself, and that didn't work. I think the servers might be down. They were saying that they were having a lot of issues, quite a few people said they got through and were able to play the game, at least early on when this was initially posted. But you basically pay 50 sats, and I think if you win, you end up getting 90 sats. So the game takes like 10%
of
the game costs. Yeah.
Oh, let's see if I can go. Car. I got to pay sats. Let me send this.
But I don't think it's working right now because I was trying to play it earlier.
Yeah, I'll just drop some sats real quick. Give me 1 second.
People didn't say that they had successfully played. I was going to consider it a scam.
You were going to consider it a scam?
Yeah, because it wouldn't be. It'd be a, you know, it'd be not a bad scam because it's making you pay up front before you even know that the game is.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Operational.
So you're saying that maybe I shouldn't do it. That's what you're saying.
Oh, well, as I said, I had trouble. It's 50 cents. If you don't. I mean, 5 cents.
Copy this.
Anyway.
Let's see if this works. Waiting. Oh, hey.
Is there anyone?
Jump in there. Can you jump in or no?
I did it earlier. Let me see if it's still up. I think I closed out of it. We won't be able to play.
Why not?
I tried it earlier. All right, I'll try it again.
See if you can go there. Or somebody else watch it from home.
Just jump for you. There. I'll try it again.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. There's 5 online players. Oh, okay, so I'm just the one man out.
That's what I mean. There's like people. No, I think there's people. I think there's other people who are trying to play it and they can't.
Well, there's 5. Look, there's 5 players. At the very top, if you can see this, there's 5. Right here, it says 5. The very top.
Gotta open my Zeus. There we go.
Sounds fun.
See, I paid and now it says 1 of 2 players. They're like matchmaking doesn't work.
Oh, wow. So it is a rug pull.
Yeah, at least, you know.
Maybe.
They should have a refund mechanism. I don't think they're intending to rug pull, but because their shit is buggy.
Bro, fix your code, bro.
Yeah.
Or take it down, one or the other.
Yeah. And it should probably, what it should do is probably you pay a hold invoice, and then if you don't get match made,
you should just take it down at this point. It should be you should take it down. Yeah. Who is this? Stacking sats and building stuff. More like taking sats and breaking stuff. Stacks, take down your game, bro. It's not working.
Or fix that.
Or fix it. Calling you out. Cool. The final top story is who pays for Bitcoin wallets. This is from Scoresby. 59 comments, 19,000 cents. Dang, this is a banger post. Eon, what's this?
Yeah, so Scoresby is, well, he summarizes how Bitcoin wallets make money right now, but the, you know, the kind of starting question is, what are the business model for these open source Bitcoin wallets? You know, things like Sparrow, Electrum, Spectre, how are they paying the bills? How are they paying the developers? How are they maintaining the software? Because you do want someone to be around to patch these things if there's a security problem, or, you know, they, you need new features and you're maybe inexperienced with other software. So how are these things paid for? And so he has this table in here where he summarizes, has whether it's open source, whether it has a custodial option, whether it has a revenue model, and what the revenue model is, what the price of it is. For instance, Sparrow is open source, non-custodial, and has a donation revenue model, and doesn't have a paid tier outside of the, you know, outside of the donations. It doesn't have another way to make money. But lists a bunch of stuff in here, and just kind of goes over the variety of ways that wallet developers make money. And is skeptical of the long-term sustainability of it, and whether we're getting the best wallets that we possibly can get with that business model. And we might be able to produce many low-quality wallets over the long term, even without a business model. But he's wondering if maybe if we had better business models, we would have better wallets, and what might be the better model for paying for a wallet. And then he kind of explains all the various schemes that he's seen, and other people in the comments chime in with, you know, most, you know, he's pretty exhaustive here, covers most of them, but they have, there are a few variations that are on those categories that are expressed in the comments.
Yeah, so let's go through them. So it looks like Bitcoin Core has grants, so it's free. Sparrow is donation base, mm-hmm. so it's free. Electrum is donation base, so it's free. Spectre is Swan, so it's free. Mm-hmm. Blue Wallet is unknown, it's free. That's the one that's on the App Store and Android and everywhere. That one, I feel like, don't they have... I thought they charged for stuff inside the app. I haven't used Blue Wallet in, like, years.
I don't know.
That might have been the first wallet I ever used, to be honest.
Hmm.
Shield Bok. I don't know what that one is. That's donation-based. That's free. Proton. Obviously, that's Proton Mill. So I don't know if that's free because... you're paying for Proton Mill, because I think that's still the only way you can get the Bitcoin wallet now, right? Have they released that to free users yet?
I think they did. I think it was at one point gated.
Okay, but they're making money off of, some would say, the deep state, right? Proton?
I don't know the deep state. At least they have a company that makes money otherwise that is funding the wallet, just like Spectre was acquired by Swan.
Okay.
I see. That will come. Company deep state, what's the difference? Deep capitalism.
Deep capitalism. I love that. That's my new favorite word. Bitcoin Safe. I don't know what that is, but call those grants. Liana. What's that?
Liana is another Bitcoin wallet. Like a lot of these, they have partners. I don't know what exactly partners means, but
yeah, partners. Not sure. Wasabi. Didn't they shut down though?
Yes, but at one point they were, I think, sustaining themselves with
coin join fees.
They were making quite a bit of money.
And then Arigura.
Yeah, that's another
coin join fees
wallet.
Well, nunchuck. That's NBK's, right?
NBK?
No. Nunchuck? No.
No, I don't think so. It's its own entity, its own company. They
Yeah. I thought that was the one that worked with the Tap Signer.
It does work with Tap Signer.
Oh, okay.
I don't think NBK. Maybe he's an advisor or.
Oh, I thought that was otherwise. The only. I thought that was the one that worked with the. I mean, that was the way Vivek explained to me.
Maybe my understanding, it's like a mobile first, Bitcoin wallet.
Oh, well, I'm just misinformed.
It's like a mobile first Sparrow is how I think about it.
Then why wasn't there a time where it only worked? Never mind. Forget I said that. Bad information.
Pretty sure it's always been independent of Cold Card.
I thought it was. Wasn't there a time where it only worked? Anyways, it doesn't matter. Keeper, which that's the one that we've been testing, right? That's the one that does the multi-sig one.
In the design club?
Yeah.
I think so. Either that, I think so. Bitcoin Safe is
That's one of the bends that's making that, right?
Yes, I think so. Okay. It used to work on,
I forget.
Spectre. Yep.
Yeah, so those are subscriptions. Theia, I don't know what that is, that subscription. Green, so that's Blockstream.
Theia is actually YC funded.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Green, that's Blockstream.
Yep.
So that's free. Envoy. Which one's that one? That's Foundation. Yeah, that's Foundation.
Passport.
That's a Passport. But they're doing like Monero now too, right?
Yeah. Yep, they are now.
Okay. And then BitKey. Mm-hmm. That one's Jax, right?
Yep.
So that's like Cash App, Square funded.
Yeah, but he's saying like the business entity itself is maybe they're maybe writing it off the cost of the software because they're selling devices or they're offsetting it with the sale of devices.
Yeah, Casa, so their subscription, AnchorWatch subscription, Unchained subscription, River, fee spread. Well, isn't River subscription too though? Don't they have like a subscription attached?
I don't think so.
No? Is it just fees?
I think so.
Okay, Swan like most subscription, exchanges. OnRamp. Which is OnRamp again? Oh yeah, OnRamp's the it's like Casa and Unchained.
Unchained, yeah. There's like a bajillion of these now.
Okay. So software is a relationship. It's better to be a customer. So how do Bitcoin wallets make money? So he's not talking about Lightning. He's just talking about like on-chain stuff, it sounds like.
Yes, primarily.
On-chain.
But he says be a layer two. I think that he's talking about, you know, Breeze, Zeus, how are they funding themselves, their wallets. Yeah. I don't think he has them listed here, but that is one of the revenue models, like the LSP model.
Yeah.
Service model.
Yeah, I don't really think there is a way to make money on chain at this point, right?
Well, that's what he's wondering. Is there a better way to do this? Is he missing something?
Yeah, I think they pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beg for it. so he's outlined seven ways. Beg for it. Do the freemium subscription thing. Sell a device. Be a custodian. Take commission. Be a layer two. Just sell your software. Is it a problem? Be a layer two seems to be working for. And then he says here, taking a cut of Lightning or some other layer two action does make sense. There certainly are a lot of wallets that are trying this. Zeus, Phoenix, Breeze, Blitz, Zebedee. Didn't include any of them in the above table because none of them have a really great solution for cold storage, at least that I'm aware of. All layer twos on Bitcoin require hotkeys. That's not exactly the same kind of wallet you want to trust your life savings. What do you think about all this, Goob?
I think it's a great question. I think it's possible that all these companies are missing something and there's a way to maybe sustain development of wallet software in a way that no one else has done yet. But I agree with, I think it's a great question. And I think it's possible we can do better. So, but it does, you know, donations seem to work really well for a for a period of time, and then eventually the developer gets, you know, maybe exhausted, burned out from doing the donation model, and they, and it's only, they're only earning it from donations. No one's really like a paying customer, really. So they, maybe they don't have such an obligation, a commitment. So that's maybe not great.
I think I can bring up some stuff, but you know, it'll probably piss people off.
Like what?
I mean, you can sell through compliance, right? I mean, there's a lot of Bitcoin companies behind the scenes that are selling data and all sorts of stuff to agencies and governments that we don't talk about. So that's one way to make revenue.
But I think he's talking specifically about wallets that we'd want to use and products that we want to use, which wouldn't do that. So
yeah, but so
If you're like an honest product that isn't.
But I'm saying that's one way to make revenue, and that's one way people are making revenue. That's not on this list.
I also don't think that's probably happening too much yet. I think it's hypothetical still, even from a perspective of people making money. But we do know there are some companies in the space that dabble in chain analysis adjacent activities
got to talk about this stuff
as a business model.
Stackers rely on me to tell the truth.
Well, we do talk. I mean, it is these things do get talked about pretty frequently. You muted a lot of people.
What? What did you say?
All the mutes in there. I believe you muted.
Yeah, because I have to say the truth.
We all know who you muted.
I have to say the truth. Sometimes and people don't like it, so they call me names. Anyways, but yeah, I think this is a good discussion. Good on Scoresby for posting this. But I don't know. I don't know where we go from this. I think there's still a long way. I think this battle's still a long way from getting settled. Maybe stablecoins will save us. What do you think, Keon?
No, not here, at least. Unless Tether wants to start making a Bitcoin wallet, and that is like really good.
There was a great post that Bitcoin News posted this week on Stecker News. They were sharing the interview that they had with Paulo.
Yeah,
he was talking about the early days of Bitfinex or whatever, and he was saying that people were more revolutionary and that kind of stuff, and he doesn't see that type of thing anymore.
I'd agree. I think it is true. It is weird. It's always weird. It's a weird quantum thing with him because he has such like a cypherpunk kind of mindset.
Exactly what I was thinking. Exactly what I was thinking too.
Like doing the stablecoin thing, which is just odd. But he, you know, it's kind of like when you meet like a shitcoiner who's like, I trade shitcoin so I can buy Bitcoin, and it's kind of what he ends up saying effectively is, I'm only doing the stablecoin thing as a bridge. It's a bridge to the future where Bitcoin wins, and it's helping me support Bitcoin and make Bitcoin win.
What do you call that? It's like a, what do you call that type of mindset where you can separate your biases.
The end justifies the means is kind of the
But who through history has done that and been proven
and like kept their promise?
But yeah, who through history has done that and been able to succeed, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know of a great metaphor for that, where someone is doing something that they sort of like against their principles in order to bring about a principled world. I guess it's, you know, it's like people who go to war for peace. It's like a lot like that. I think
it's like what George Bush was doing in the 2000s. We're gonna bomb the fuck out of them in order for freedom.
Yeah, so stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is just weird. You know, I'm sure I haven't listened to a lot of his stuff because at the moment I began hearing stuff like positive things about Bitcoin from him, it kind of irks me out.
Yeah, he goes, I interpret Bitcoin's core philosophy as a commitment to financial freedom, decentralization, empowering individuals to take control of their own wealth. Bitcoin represents the idea a financial system can exist outside of the traditional institutions without relying on intermediaries while ensuring trust, privacy, and transparency. I know. I don't get it. That's why I like talking to people, because I like understanding like brains like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love giving people the benefit of the doubt. Like, I want to talk to these people, understand why they see the world the way they do, because there's something I'm missing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there has to be something I'm missing, because I don't get it. Like, where am I missing that? Like there's this like thing here. And then there's where I'm at, and I'm like trying to understand, like, how do I make that jump to understand what they're like, where is that missing thing? Because I can't be the only one that's like.
Well, I think I would probably describe it as people who are very against stable coins are maybe more ideological than they are pragmatic. And people who are into stable coins are quite pragmatic, and they just see stable coins being popular, so they want. You know, they want to be part of what's popular, and they don't. And it's at least not as much of a fiat as at least not. It's an accepted scam. It's like a scam at the level we all live in, and we kind of accept. So, it's somehow okay to like build into the into that scam. Is I think,
yeah,
mostly how that works.
It kind of reminds me of when the Biden administration wanted to drop nukes on Russia. That's what I was like, yeah, we'll just drop nukes everywhere. It's kind of like that.
I don't know much about that. I'll get into it. We're swerving out of our lane.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but there are a lot of cool people that work with Tether.
Yeah, they're great. More talking about the ideas on the edge and the ideas around it. I'm not complaining about the people I'm not trying to disregard the person or anything like that.
There's some strong Bitcoiners like John Carvalho.
Yeah, I love these people. These are people that I actually, you know, go to bat for. But I'm more talking about the ideas and about the understanding of it all. You know, this is what makes Bitcoiners the greatest people on earth, is because we can argue these ideas and we can go head to head on it. Cool. So let's jump into Meta now. That was all the top stories of the week. We're going to jump into Meta. Keon, you released some gun and horse.
This is just small stuff that I wanted to mention because you mentioned it. But the horse and the gun, which we talk about every week, is no longer a streak. Instead, it's either you have a basically indicate whether you have wallets attached. So we're going to use.
Bend the knee.
Yes, I guess. But we're gonna. They'll indicate to you whether someone has a wallet attached, and you you can transact on real sats.
All of a sudden, I got a horsey now. See when I understand what a horse.
So we know Carr wants to receive sats.
See now, when I understand. See what happens when I understand what a horse and a hat is. And all of a sudden, I get it. See how that works, Coop?
Well, you don't understand what a hat is yet because it's not expressed in this post. At
6 days, turns out. Congratulations. Can't receive sats.
Anyway, there's other small stuff like that, but that's kind of the path. Eventually, your horse will get sick if your receiving wallet can't receive sats. We'll like send you a notification. Your horse is sick, or your horse has died, or
what's your gun device is jammed. Sync enabled? What's that device sync enabled?
We don't store. We're kind of crazy about. This kind of stuff. So we don't store the ability to send your money on our servers in plain text. So we have you encrypt it client side before we store it. But you have to enable that because it requires you copying down a seed phrase.
So say that again slower.
Device sync allows us to transmit your sending wallet credentials. So if you're, let's say you want to zap people sats on Stacker News.
Where do I go do that at?
You would attach a wallet that allows you to send, like if you're using Primal as your wallet, they have an NWC that you can use to send sats on Stacker News.
Oh, so you're just saying attach a wallet on my phone to send sats. That's what you're asking me to do.
I'm not asking you to do anything.
You're saying if I want to,
if you want a shooter, if you want a gun,
then
you,
I have to attach, you have to attach a wallet.
A wallet that wallet that can send sats
on my phone,
not necessarily on your phone, but a wallet that can send sats. You can do it on the desktop.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And then you add, and then you also enable device sync, which means we sync your wallet credentials across devices, encrypted in a way that we can't get access to. Anyway, yeah, it's cool. For
all right. Now I get it.
Okay. Anyway, that's it.
Cool. All right, that's cool. And then EK also, I asked for a special feature about the territory.
Yeah,
and
she's going to manually do it for you.
Yeah, he's my guy. So EK is going to manually send me a notification.
He's going to set himself a calendar reminder so you don't have to. It's basically how it's going to work.
No, he said that he's going to build it. It's just right now it's too difficult, or it's too much feature weight, he said, or something like that.
It's too distracting for him. He's working on other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but he said he's going to get to it at some point.
In the meantime, he's going to send himself a calendar reminder.
Yeah, shoot me an email, which is great because, yeah. Anyways, really cool stuff. I feel like it's working. Yeah, because I was telling him, I was like, the reason you guys probably lost so many territories is because no one knew they had to pay their bill.
We didn't really lose that many, though.
Yeah, there are, because I was looking for the Mexico territory because I was going to post something.
There are a lot of territories that got started. They kept it for a month. But
Well, it's because they probably didn't know, Coop, they had to pay their territory fees.
No, they just didn't. They were never on the site. That's just the Mexico one was bought by the Yopaki guys.
Yeah, but they probably didn't know they had to pay it. There's some times where
they just don't have any use for it. They never used it. That's the whole point of having to pay, is that if you're not using it, it should go away.
There's some times where I don't log into the Plub Lab one, and then it gets, I log in and I'm like, crap, how did it get like not renewed? That's what I'm saying. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, FedEx is here. Next door. Oh, not this one. Next one. Yeah. You don't have a pickup, do you?
Nope.
Anyways, cool. We're going to jump into your other post you had. What would you do with 50 Bitcoin?
Yeah, so Siggy asked this question. It was the sixth top story. And so you were gifted 100 Bitcoin. So you have 50 Bitcoin for yourself, which he says you can keep it, do what you want with it. But the other 50, you don't have any need for that. So what would you do with it, maybe, in like a charitable fashion? And so a bunch of people chime in and answer. And I thought we had some good answers in here. It is hard. It's much harder than you think to disperse money.
This is the top comment. You ready for the top comment? Yeah,
sure.
Or you want to share something? Did you want to share something before I read the top comment?
I don't have anything to share.
The top comment was from the commenter. I'm ready for this one. I haven't read this yet. He says, this is really hard to lay out fully as a gift. Like, that would literally change one's life. This reply is going to be a bit long, so hodl on. I think it's important to note that I believe that deep down the rabbit hole of Bitcoin, we are all looking for ways to constantly provide value to other through either exchanging our Bitcoin with people or providing value to others in exchange for their Bitcoin. Either way, this concept of hodl slowly fades to do the anthropic characteristic of the network. Okay, I would instantly inform my boss that I would be quitting as soon as they could find a replacement for me. Second, I would then begin the process of setting up a nonprofit organization that's first focus would be to purchase apartment buildings and immediately transform them to run my version of Bitcoin, which is everyone pays a split amount of Bitcoin fiat, and the fiat is paid equal to fiat needs of property, and the Bitcoin is paid is equal to the profit that the property would otherwise realize. The Bitcoin would then become the reserve account for the property after it would first work as an incentive for the residents that paid it. The incentive would be a 50-50 split. Okay, I'm not going to read that because it's in quotation. The groundwork for this would be all come out of my 50 Bitcoin, and the nonprofit would be recipient of the other 50 Bitcoin. My hope would be that the donors would allow me to purchase properties for cash. I'm not going to read that. It's in quotations again. The flywheel of the sustainability first becomes recognized locally as a good idea, then goes from there before you know it, our housing crisis is over. I know this seems like a lot, but it's happening already with my little property. But once I get it set up, it would be a nonprofit and just start giving out rent discounts for my fiat paying residents. They would be incentivized to pay in Bitcoin order, or at least that's what I would be doing. So it sounds like he wants to turn this into like a flipping. He would flip his 50 Bitcoin to get more Bitcoin and then it would reproduce more Bitcoin over time in the next 10 years. Siggy said that's a great answer. I really like your real estate slant. Because of you, I just attempted to rent out a not-so-fancy little trailer park home in Florida for Bitcoin. I offered a 10% discount for payment in Bitcoin. I got no bites. I even attempted to convince some people that I would be really easy if they wanted to use Cash App. It didn't work. They all thought I was scamming them.
Oh, that makes sense. Probably.
Siggy should just try like using Zaprite, see if that works. Give them the option, but like in a subtle way.
Oh, yeah, but I think the idea, yeah, I think the idea is to maybe only accept Bitcoin. That would be the real move that you probably want. I think that's what the commoner does.
Displit says, man, I remember having a dream that I had been gifted 4 Bitcoin, and it caused me to panic about my security setup. I'm sure the first thing I'd spend all my time on is a storage situation I was comfortable with for that quantity. Gray Ruby said, not sure, but 1 Bitcoin would hit the rewards pool today.
That's way too much.
Elvis Mercury said, I tried to get at this a few times too. Usually what would Sailor could do? Nothing else. 0x Bitcoiner said, no doubt I'd buy a small farm. EK brought me, he wrote me into this post, because I really don't like talking about this kind of stuff. I think it's just kind of pointless, you know?
What, getting rich?
No, just like talking about, pontificating about like, oh, what if you had $1 million, or what if you like, you know, could fly.
You don't like hypotheticals?
Yeah, I don't like this type of stuff. EK wrote me and he goes, well, CC Car, I said I would take 2 to 3 Bitcoin to purchase our own space.
Where would you put it?
I think we would all have to decide where we would put it.
I see.
And then I said, other than that, I said 50 is an insanely amount of Bitcoin, and I would not give it to one entity to distribute. Would not recommend that. And then I said, if you had 50, I would give it. I would direct you towards startups, builders inside of Plub Lab to directly invest in them. Yeah. That's what I said. Sponsor a small school, other people said. Retire, live the life I want to live. Yeah, other people said stuff like that. What would you do with it, Keon?
50 Bitcoin? I think I'd have to think about it a lot. I don't think, I haven't done this hypothetical. I mean, I think I'm doing it already to some extent. This is what I try to help myself build the thing that I want to build that I'm currently working on. I don't know how much money can affect that, because it's just so much of it is figuring it out. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's an interesting post.
Yeah. I like hypotheticals.
The next one you had was Rusty Russell AMA. So Rusty, core Lightning lead, one of the most well-respected developers in the space. Probably, would you say he's probably the most respected or one of the top 5 respected Lightning developers in the space?
I don't know if I'd describe people like that. I don't think it's that easy to put like top 5 people.
As far as Lightning people? Really?
Oh, well, you said in Bitcoin. But he does basically...
I feel like everybody holds him in high regard, him and Corallo.
He is one of the more respected people in Bitcoin development, but you said top 5, you were trying to put numbers on
okay,
it.
I won't put numbers on it.
That's where I get.
Okay, I won't put numbers, but would you put him like in the top as far as like well-respected Lightning developers? I would.
Yes,
I feel like,
of course.
I feel like everybody who always talks about like the top Lightning developers, everybody always brings him up. Like he's, you know, everybody holds him in high regard.
Yeah, he was, I think, the first Lightning. He was developed the first Lightning implementation. I think Core Lightning was the first Lightning implementation. And then he's still leading Core Lightning. And, you know, since then we have a lot of more implementations. But, yes, of course, he's a great developer and worked on Linux before working on Bitcoin and Lightning stuff. Overall, just a really, I think, like a humble, smart guy.
We had Ben Carman. He asked him, are you happy with court lightning adoption? It is one of the lesser used implementations. I can see that as either being positive or negative to you. Curious on your thoughts. Rusty said, generally, I'm happy to set about 10 to 15% of the network, though obviously it's hard to tell from a specification and perspective. This is a healthy number, which ensures everyone stays friendly and interoperable and makes it worth developing new features together with other implementations. To some extent, more users, more problems. Yep.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great questions in here, and he gives really good, you know, thoughtful answers. I highly recommend reading through it if you're curious about FOSS development from really an OG, an OG Bitcoiner to many of us Bitcoiners, an OG Bitcoin developer.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see him back.
Oh, he joined very early, or at least tried it out very early. I bet he came on for Lisa's AMA.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. He was on before that.
Oh, he was on for Bolt 11 Invoice Interactive 2022. That was his first one. Oh, wow. So you had him at Bolt 11. There you go.
Oh, yeah. And he developed a Bolt12.org.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, I think he's the one that maintains it.
There you go. So maybe we'll see him back. Stackers, be nice to him. The next one I was going to bring up was the Builders Territory. We've been posting a lot of stuff this week. We'll have more stuff to post next week, but I posted another early days episode with Jeremy from, he's from Nigeria. He's been working on this project called Assigned Money. Him and Onions Man. I was going to say Iron Man. Onions Man.
I remember Onions Man.
And he's working on what he thinks is a solution for some of the payroll problems they're having in Africa where they pay in Bitcoin only, which is cool. You should hear him talk about stablecoins and some of the stuff that they use over there. It's really cool. He really turned me on to a lot of what's going on over there. Cool. It's really interesting to hear him talk about how he got into building. He had to save up, I think he said like 2 years to buy his first laptop. And he got really into building, being an entrepreneur because he saw like the Steve Jobs movie and Social Network movie. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool.
He got into Bitcoin building because he saw PlebLab videos and Chinko Lab videos and BitTrust Builders videos and stuff.
BTrust,
yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome to feel connected with people super far away in the world. So
really cool.
Bitcoin
helps
with that a lot.
Yeah. But he's inspiring more people, I'm sure. The next... Later, John. The next one I want to share was Meet the Top Builders. This is kind of like a fireside chat they did here for Startup Day where all these guys had just went through the gauntlet of Top Builder, and look how tired they look.
Oh, they all look great health. I don't know what I'm talking about.
They all look like blurry, but they all look like they would just have been through it. That's what it's like being a Bitcoin builder.
I don't know. Keith looks pretty good. Keith looks like he's keeping it together.
They all look like they've just been through it. That's what it's like being a Bitcoiner, building on the front lines, Keon. But yeah, they shared all the stuff that they've been working on. Definitely worth a listen to if you're thinking about building on Bitcoin. Might want to listen to that first, see what you're getting into. The other one I wanted to share was Lightning Bounties. They shared their kind of wrap up of the. They did some mentoring at the MIT Bitcoin Hackathon, and so they kind of show behind the scenes footage of them doing like workshops and stuff and. You know, they...
Chalkboards.
Chalkboards. They showed the kind of numbers that they had. They had a full write-up on their Medium, their blog post. They showed all the teams that competed.
Yeah, it was a great write-up.
Yeah. There's one, two teams I wanted to reach out to, but I'll have have Enrique reaching out to him for me. And then the other one was they also did a write-up for Top Builder, which was really cool. They posted all about their kind of just what they went through and kind of like, you know, what it was like going through the process and the final round and stuff like that. So definitely worth checking out. They do a really good job of just like posting everything. Just like,
yeah, they must have. Do they have someone dedicated to the media side?
Yeah, they have a full team. So you see, they have four guys.
Yeah,
and they're all dedicated to different aspects of the team. So when you have a full team like that,
yeah,
you can just work on different things. That's what happens. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't think Austin's around anymore, was the Breeze SDK that got released.
Oh,
this week.
Yeah. So they this is a WASM version of their SDK. Their Nodeless SDK has been out for a while, but this one allows you to basically embed a Breeze wallet in a browser and a web application. And you can use their Nodeless browser or their Nodeless Liquid Lightning system, which is best way to think about it if you're familiar with the Moon Wallet, which is like Lightning interoperable, where it swaps on chain, and like your wallet is really storing your coins on chain. It's doing that, but with Liquid and the trade offs associated with Liquid. And that's pretty much it. It looks like they have some stable coin interoperability. Might be independent of their WASM. I'm not sure how all of that works. But
so when Moon did it back then, because Moon was doing it for like years, right? Since like 21 or 22.
They're still doing it.
They're still doing it the way with
no
like
one talks about it anymore. But
well, yeah, but like submarine swaps, wasn't it, or something like that? Was it called?
Yep.
And but the fees would get high, wouldn't it? The fees would get high whenever.
Yeah, if on-chain fees spike, you have trouble. With something like Moon. Liquid has lower fees because it's not a blockchain.
So when they have the USDT fee right there, so you're paying that. So I'm trying to understand this. This is me understanding this. So if I send, so let's just say hypothetically I make like Costco comes to me tomorrow and wants to make a Costco Bitcoin wallet and I'm using the Breeze SDK Nodeless thing. And I'm swamping Lightning. Yeah, how does that work then?
Okay, so what does Costco have to do with this?
Costco wants to make.
Costco wants to give you money?
They want to. Yeah, yeah, they
want to. They
want to
give you money. Okay, so you send them a Lightning invoice.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay the Lightning invoice.
Yeah.
And then what Breeze does is they swap it out of Lightning, and you get LBTC. So you're storing, LBTC on Liquid. You have, like, money on Liquid's blockchain.
And then when does that turn into Bitcoin?
When you withdraw, I guess. You can send.
Or when I send it.
You could send it out. You know, it's just like Moon.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, so, but do I know that as a user? I guess you wouldn't know, right? Just like Moon, you wouldn't know.
No, you don't. As far as it interops with Lightning, you're mostly interacting with Lightning things. You have a seed phrase that allows you to go on chain and on Liquid's chain. But
they also have the other option available too as well, right? Like Breeze has multiple options.
Yeah, I think I think this is just their most popular option. They're seeing a lot. I think that's what it seemed. That's what I would guess is, because they're spending quite a bit of time on the Nodeless one, is you're seeing more developers be interested in the Nodeless SDK relative to Greenlight SDK. And I think they used to have an embedded node. I mean, the Breeze wallet that you download on your phone has an embedded LND. I don't know if they've changed that recently. But I for a long time...
It looks like they have a Rust Lightning node.
Yeah, I think that's the this node the that you LDK have on your phone. They're using Rust Lightning, they're using LDK.
Yeah, it looks
but
like
I think
that,
they're using that even I think they're mostly using that for, it's like a light node. But I actually don't know a whole lot of what's going on there, so I'm kind of just
shooting from the hip.
Yeah. Talking out of my other hole.
So it looks like they have Misty Breeze.
Yeah, so this is like their moon wallet that is on Liquid, and so maybe a better comparison would be like Aqua Wallet. But has Lightning. I think Aqua Wallet might even have Lightning too, but this uses their SDK. Their nodeless SDK. They basically built a product. They like dog fooded their product and built a wallet with it.
So they have a Liquid implementation. That's the nodeless one. That's the one that we just talked about. And then they have a native Greenlight implementation.
Yeah. And the Greenlight one is you actually have a Lightning node running in the cloud, but you hold the keys on your device. And so
that's the one that got released like a year ago when we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's how it works. Okay. So because the reason I bring this up is because we get here in the comments and Darth Coin Stock and shit. But this is where like Darth Coin, to their credit, they are explaining it all in the technical documentation, Darth Coin. This is kind of what me and Austin were talking about earlier. It's like this is the difference between a lot of like I think this is just me not like just talking about it. Like, I feel like this is where like a company like Breeze explains all this correctly from the beginning.
Yeah, the documentation is pretty, it's pretty explicit. I think people do have issues with the marketing.
This is pretty clear though. Like what's going on? It's like Liquid, Bolts, Lightning Network, right? Like, and then you get into Greenlight. It's like Signer, Greenlight, LSB node, like it's or Lightning Network. It's pretty, as a pleb, somebody who doesn't understand this at a technical level, like the way you guys do, it's pretty obvious to me what's going on here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understood since they first started talking about their nodeless implementation, I understood that it had Liquid backing it up, but maybe for a pleb, they don't know the difference. I've been told that some people don't know the difference between custodial and non-custodial still, and so maybe it is
literally right here.
Pretty confusing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not one with the complaints about it, but I'm trying to inhabit their frame of mind.
But no, it just goes to what Darth was saying, right? Like what I'm saying here is like they're not trying to fool you, Darth. They're literally saying it. They're not trying to hide it either. It's literally here in their documentation. And that's on their GitHub and it's on their repository. That's the difference. So we'll see what he says after that. Anyways. The last thing I wanted to bring up was Stacker Sports, baby. Stacker Sports, the territory I've grown to love. Is doing another points challenge, Keon.
No.
Yes, they are. Wow. So we got a playoff bracket. So it starts tonight, apparently. I barely made it in. I thought I had missed it. I wished them luck. I was so bummed. And Undisciplined got me in at the last second. So now I'm in. I got my playoff bracket. I think I'm in. Yeah, so let me see if I can. Can I still log in here? Let's see if I... I can't log in. Okay, I must be logged in on my phone. But anyway, it's happening. I got Cavs Lakers finals.
That's okay.
What I got. I'm playing it safe because I did the NCAA thing, and I was playing it too crazy.
Fast and loose.
Now I'm just gonna play it very conservative. Cavs Lakers. Play it super conservative. That's what I got.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Anyways, but Stacker Sports, man. This territory, I'm telling you. What do you think about their territory? I know I ask you all the time, but it's doing good.
I think it's cool. I like that that it exists. I don't know. I like that other people like it. I don't.
It's taken off. It's really becoming a thing. It's a popular podcast now too.
That's great. I think it, you know, I think good things are
I was listening to last week's episode because I couldn't find it on Fountain. Like they released the Fountain episode. So yeah, this one got released at 28 and then I couldn't find episode 28 on Fountain. All I found was episode 27. And then when I clicked on here, it didn't show up this morning. See how it doesn't show up? I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kept hitting refresh and it wasn't showing up. So I was like, So I was listening to the one from last week.
Might be a bug or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're using for their distribution, but look, that's their headline. A podcast for a listener with low expectations. That's from a non-snacker. Anyways, it's a good show. You should check it out. Stacker Sports Pod. Anyways, have you gone on the show yet? You need to go on the show.
No, but I don't. I mean, I also don't know anything about sports, really.
It's a good show, man.
I also haven't been listening to podcasts lately.
Really?
I've been walking home silent. It's weird. But
why?
I've been listening. I don't know.
Listening to the streets?
I haven't really felt like it.
Mm. You don't listen to music, though? Or do you listen to music during the day?
I listen to music during the day if I'm working, but I don't like listen to it like I'm building up a repertoire.
Maybe you should listen to Gregorian chants.
Who?
Gregorian chants.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know what that is?
I think I get it. It's sometimes like, I listen to choir music.
You should, dude. Yeah. Last night was freaking awesome. Yeah. Like they were like.
I just love vocal harmony in general.
It was all at once. It was. It felt like somebody was. Yeah, it felt super crazy. You should listen to that.
Okay, I do. That's what I said I did already. Thank you.
We're gonna jump into the top. Where are we going to? Oh yeah, let's jump into the. That's all the stories for this week. We're gonna jump into the top. Not top stackers. The Cowboys, baby. Top Cowboys.
Looks like the same. Up. Oh, that's right. Up.
Got the hat.
My bad.
Got the hat.
Do this way.
Got the hat.
Hiya. All right. Well, looks like we have the same list, more or less. I don't think anyone has changed.
I don't think anybody's changed.
Everyone's trying to say in this really exciting segment. Seven.
Blockchain Boog, Gray Ruby, somebody's hiding, still stacking out after all these years, Conan Reporter, Sato Sora. I think I'm going to move up.
Yeah?
I think so. We got EK, Unschooled.
EK is climbing.
Kepford, a lot of stackers in the 30s hiding. A lot of scared babies, a lot of scared stackers there. Carr, 45, going up. Plep Poet, right behind me, 47. Nunya. I've been seeing Nunya showing up here lately. He's been posting a lot more lately.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Posting their Bitcoin ad.
We just had Andy on from CrowdHealth.
I saw that.
I need to listen to his podcast again. I've been dipping out lately. Sorry, Nunya. You know, listen to your pod a little bit more. But yeah, he's been having some guests on. Who else? We got Carter. Carter's been a regular snacker lately.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Max. I forgot to mention Max's new pod, dude. So he just had on, did you see his podcast with Franzamp?
Yeah, I saw the.
I need to check it out this weekend. But he just had on Franzamp Franzamp. And I listened to the first 5 minutes, and it sounded really interesting. But they're talking about this whole new future of Web of Trust, Oster and stuff. So, should be good. You listen to the rest of it.
Yeah, I think he has. What is he doing? He did the Zap Store, and then I think he's also working on. I think he just got a grant from OpenSats to do. I think they call it Vertex Lab, where they do Web of Trust DVMs. Which is pretty awesome. I think they have a few people working on that. So
yep. What was I going to say? But
good
yeah.
stuff coming.
Yeah, and you check out that one. And then, here, let's go back here. Or wait, where did I go? I lost my track. Oh, boom, boom, boom. There we go, boom. Then we got Club Lab number 70. Boom. Look at that orange just sticks out. And we wow. got Sox, Agoria, Nout. Nout's coming back. Haven't seen Nout in a while. Signal, Silky Ninja, Pup.
Yeah.
Link Bounties. I think that's it. I think that's it. Good.
Wow.
That's all we got. Let's jump all into Fountain. Groups. Fountain. See what we got with the Zaps, the Activity. Oh, wow. Look at this. We got User 401 said if Steve Jobs was still alive, he would be starting a new company working at a Club Lab. Damn.
Wow.
Do you think that's true?
No.
What's up, Tom? You don't think that's true?
No.
I think he would, personally. Okay.
Well, that's
I think he totally would be...
I don't think he'd work anyone.
I think he totally would be... I think he totally would be... Later, Tom. Have a good Easter. Yeah. I think he totally would be. I think we would get Waz, and then he would be coming around, hanging out with Waz.
I could see Waz coming hanging out, but yeah. I don't know about Steve.
Steve would come poach Waz, and then he would go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
So, yeah, he's right. And just was said, accepting people helps you understand them. Great insight, Coop. What did you say last week?
I think we were talking about, Plut Poet said something about understanding people.
Oh.
And I said I accept people. It's mostly what I do. And if I don't understand them, I try to accept them. I think that's the context. Yeah.
That's a good one. Cool. There you go. See, you're not a sociopath.
No, not entirely.
when I saw the comments, I was like, there's no way Keon's a sociopath. That's impossible.
Wait, what did that about me saying, I was like, they don't matter.
I was like, that's impossible.
That doesn't matter.
I was like, that's impossible.
You took me out of context.
I think it's because most people don't hang out with engineers or developers. And so when you don't hang out with those people, you don't understand how they think. And so I've hung out with you guys enough to understand how y'all think. And so y'all say things very like engineer wise. And so I can see how people can think that because y'all think very how do you describe it? It's like elimination. It's like boom, 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 like orders. And so it comes off brash, but it's not meant to be brash. It's just meant to be like orders of whatever. Programming wise, I don't know how to explain it. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do. I think yeah. I think everyone.
It's
your,
like
your brain is formed by your profession a lot.
Yeah, you're thinking like in orders and stuff. So it comes off like, but you're just seeing it as like a.
Yeah, this is a fact. This is a fact. This is a fact.
True value. Like it's not a value. This is a subset thing. This goes back to that thing. And so this hierarchy thing. So what I'm thinking this is so, oh, wait, no, this very like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you said it was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense because it doesn't matter because this goes back to, yeah. Anyways, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't think I'm doing anything.
Really?
Is what I would guess. Yeah.
Why?
I would just guess. I don't think I have any. I'm pretty sure I don't have any plans. I'll probably just be working. I've been doing like a refactor that I'm enjoying. It's getting to the point where I'm enjoying it. It was painful at first, so I'm enjoying that. But otherwise, you know, just normal stuff. How about you?
We're doing a. Let me. Oh man, Twitter doesn't come up. It's down finally. We killed the beast. Oh no, I guess it is up. We're doing a workshop.
Oh.
Tomorrow. Yeah, we're doing a Ben Carman workshop tomorrow.
Oh, this is tomorrow. Huh?
Yeah, we're doing it tomorrow at 12. He's going to show you how to do building on Rust workshop. So he's going to show you how to build a Rust wallet with LDK node. I think I'm going to give it a shot. How hard can it be? Like, seriously. It's just Rust.
It's probably easy, dude.
It's probably easy. I mean, you're doing LDK, right? Like,
yeah, it's just LDK, bro.
It's just LDK. I mean, like, seriously.
Three letters.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Carman can do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's bad. I mean, just vibe code it, right?
Yeah, you can totally vibe code it.
Just kidding. It'll probably be really hard, but I think we'll record it and we'll post it out there for the Stackers and the rest of the community. But yeah, we're going to do that. And then after that, I'll probably go to church in the evening, and that'll be a fun time. We'll get right back at it again on Monday and do it all over again. Because this is the life we live, Coop. This is the life we live. This is the life we choose to live. About. We choose to do the things that are hard, not because they're easy, but because they're hard.
Look, BTC. Yeah, he was shot later, but.
Look, BTC Sessions going up against us every week.
BTC Sessions? Right there. Oh, is he doing live?
Yeah.
Look at him. He's still trying to take our throne. Come at me, BTC Sessions.
We should just do a crossover show at some point.
Do we really want to put him, like, give him that, like, elevate him like that? Do we really want to help his star rise?
You think he our level? You think he actually thinks we're really, like, mad at him?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Because I doubt he even knows.
He could probably outdance us.
I don't know. I've taken salsa classes, dude. I had a beginner salsa. I think a tango.
You could outcode him, though. You could definitely outcode him.
Maybe not. Maybe if he's, like, really good at vibe coding, he might be able to outdo me. And then I have nothing left.
I could out-talk him for sure.
You think so?
Yeah, I could totally out-talk him.
He's on camera way more than you.
No, dude. Have you heard me talk? I can talk for hours.
I haven't heard you talk for hours. I usually walk away.
No, I can talk for hours. Too long. I can talk about stupid stuff for hours. I can just keep talking.
That is a gift, you know?
It is a gift.
Do people have it?
Let me see. All right. We'll see you next time, Stackers. Have a great week. Keon.
Zap.